many and get intimate with a girl, I believe in Okinawa.
Yes, it is. Now, over the weekend, a U.S. sailor got in a car accident for allegedly drunk driving in Okinawa. What Derek was talking about was the possible connection to a murder of a woman in Okinawa. Japanese Prime Minister has come out. He's publicly, you know, confronted Obama and saying, you got to cut this out. Yeah. Things got awkward, especially where we are in a time where you're working with Japan in that big bad guy called China.
Yeah. Well, it's more Korea than China, North Korea than China. This is an ongoing problem. Mm-hmm. There have been problems. And it's not to say that the people in the Navy are bad. It's just that every now and again, somebody goes off the reservation and either gets drunk and kills somebody or flat out murders somebody or rapes somebody or rapes a bunch of schoolgirls. And the Japanese do not tolerate that.
One would think.
We don't tolerate it in this country either. But the level of hysteria that it creates in Japan, if you think the internet is bad, just see what the Japanese media does whenever this happens. And part of it is they don't really want the U.S. military hanging around in Okinawa. They appreciate them being there because they keep them safe. They don't like the problems that they cause. So this isn't a single incident that triggered this. This is a history of incidents that finally led to this result.
Not good.
Not good. Not good. Got a drink on the ship now. Can't drink on shore. Brock Turner.
Brock Turner is the former Stanford University student who last week he was sentenced to 6 months in jail, which a lot of people are condemning and getting a lot of attention from media, social media. He was a former student. He was a swimmer on Stanford University. He also attended a fraternity party where a young woman attended as well. Brock Turner was found outside behind a dumpster sexually assaulting her. And, yeah, 6 months. It's incredible.
Yeah.
His father had come out and said, I believe the quote was, you know, he was talking about do not ruin his life for, quote unquote, 20 minutes of action.
Yeah, 20 minutes of action should not undo his 20 plus years of life. I also would have accepted total loser or douche as an answer for Brock Turner and his father and his friends, all of whom are animals. Animals. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
Okay. You had the girl that knew him in high school who said, oh, he was a great guy. He'd never hurt anybody. I can't believe that the Brock Turner I knew did this. You had the kindergarten teacher who came out and said, I trust Brock Turner with my daughter. You got the dad saying, well, don't let 20 minutes of action ruin the kid's life. What about the girl?
You raped a girl.
Brock Turner is an animal. He may not be a monster, but he's an animal, and he is a rapist. He is a convicted rapist. And the thing that all convicted rapists have in common is that they raped. And men who rape are not good people. And I don't care how much you love the guy. I don't care how nice he was to you. I don't care how much he volunteers in the community. He raped somebody. Not what good people do.
And I recommend to any of our listeners, please go online and look for the victim impact statement. Yeah. Because it is one of the most powerful pieces that I have read. And she starts out by saying, you don't know me, but you've been inside of me. And this is why we're here today. And she spoke to the judge, to Brock Turner, and everybody else in that courtroom. And it was very, very powerful. That was probably one of the anchors on CNN. I forget who it was. That was one of the only times I actually felt emotion and to a broadcast on CNN was when this anchor had read that whole entire, took 15 minutes out of the broadcast, and I was so happy that she had read it and the emotion that was brought up. And it was the same thing in understanding that we're talking about 6 months here, and regardless of the time,
which is ridiculous, he's going to be out by September, by the way,
the fact that this girl's life is changed forever, And she goes into it.
But he was a good kid who made a mistake, Lisa. Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of the victim impact statement where she talks about having to explain what happened to her family and how dirty you feel and the breakdown that you feel. And like I said, I absolutely recommend reading it. It's pretty powerful.
I would love to see. Here's the exact quote from the father to Judge Aaron Persky, who should be removed from the bench. He isn't eating much and is full of worry and anxiety. It's a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action out of his 20-plus years of life.
Whoopsie.
I'm not a violent person, okay? I make this abundantly clear. I don't believe in hitting people. But I want to punch this guy in the nose. And I believe we need a new rule in the justice system where if you write something this stupid and this hurtful to a judge, the bailiff holds you back, and the judge gets to punch you in the face a few times.
I'm all for that.
I would love to see that. I would love to see a judge just stand there and punch this guy in the face mm-hmm. until he understands that his kid is an animal, that a girl's life has been ruined far worse than his son's life is ever going to be ruined for being on the sex offender registry, which if you're rich is a joke, okay? It's only the poor that suffer for that. Mm-hmm. And what, 3.5 months in jail? Because he's going to get credit for time served and good behavior and all the rest. Oh, and he's going to go be an altar boy now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter.
And it's so incredibly sad. It blows my mind that that's the penalty.
I mean,
and that's consequence that this kid faces.
We're not even talking about a situation where it's like, oh, you know, we wound up back in my room and she passed out and she said it was okay.
No, behind the dumpster like a savage.
He took her out of a fraternity party and when he couldn't move her, he laid her down next to a dumpster and raped her.
Mm-hmm. And at some point she became unconscious.
Animal.
Left her there.
Animal. This kid is an animal. And it disgusts me. And it disgusts me that we have a culture that will protect people like this. I get it, Brock Turner's father. I get it. He's your kid. All right. You're trying to look out for him. But really what you should be saying to the judge is, I'm sorry I raised this animal. Please try and be lenient on him. When he gets home, I'm going to beat the living crap out of him and make him make up for this. That's what you write. The dad that writes that is going to be a hero.
Mm-hmm.
No. Well, I shouldn't go to jail for 20 minutes of action. Oh, my God.
When I heard that.
Oh, my God.
All right. Federal Reserve.
They're bad people. I don't know, which day of the week are we talking about? They're either going to raise interest rates or they're not. Janet Yellen says, yeah, we're going to. And then the bad jobs report comes out and they say, no, we're not going to.
Today, yeah.
Are we back to fourth quarter, we're going to raise interest
rates?
We
are back to, we're not going to raise them.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Because, as Derek said, unexpected.
There's no jobs.
I love all this word always comes up. Unexpected job loss. Like, nobody's working. We're constantly seeing the unemployment. But, oh, no. Obama's great, and he's creating jobs. Everybody's, you know, thriving in this country. Not so much.
They've finally come around to the record low labor force participation in the United States of America. Now, the May jobs...
Why? Because it's easier not to work. You make more money not working. This is what we've become in this country.
Well, if you're off the rolls, you're not even getting unemployment anymore, so I don't know where these people are getting money from. They're living on credit cards, or they're selling everything they own on eBay, or I don't know what the heck they're doing. The May jobs report, I will give them a bit of an out on this, was impacted by the Verizon strike. Because that took something like 37,000 people nationwide and put them on the unemployment roll. Mm-hmm. But that did not make up for how generally abysmal that jobs report was. We've got retailers closing up shop and laying people off left and right. Ralph Lauren, Sports Authority, Macy's, Kmart, Sears. Now, I hear this report today, which I assume is from the Labor Department, might be from Challenger Grand Christmas, you never know, saying that there are 5.8 million jobs in the United States that we can't fill.
Oh.
We don't have anybody that can take these jobs.
Are they? Really?
Yeah.
I would love to know what these jobs are.
I would too, because then we could get people back to work and start growing the economy
again.
So
strange.
Yeah. The jobs numbers.
I've never heard of that.
The jobs numbers under the Obama administration have been so filled with voodoo and so wildly adjusted from month to month, especially over the last couple of years, that they're not worth the paper they're not printed on anymore. They're just useless.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look around you. Do people you know have jobs? Do people you know have good jobs?
Go to the mall in the afternoon. Yeah. You wouldn't think so.
Your answer is going to be no, no matter where you live in this country. And that's pretty much all you need to know about the state of the U.S. economy. It's bad, folks. Mm-hmm. It's bad. And we actually need the rate hikes to make it healthy again. But the economy is so bad that we can't have them. This is when you start putting money in the mattress. Just say.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good idea. Monkey.
We're not talking about, no, that was a gorilla.
Yeah.
Monkey.
This was all over the news this morning. This was a big story this morning. Did you sleep late?
No, I was up early.
No. Because I think it might have aged off by mid-afternoon with other things going on.
What was it?
Monkey. A monkey stepped on a transformer and turned off all of the power in Kenya for 3 hours this morning.
That's great.
Yeah, he was just goofing
that's
around.
That's more like a, that's a thing that happened.
He was just goofing around over the transformer. And
there's one single transformer.
No, it was a transformer at the largest hydroelectric plant in Kenya. So when that plant went offline, it triggered a cascade that took off all of the other power plants in Kenya. They got the power back on in 3 hours, which is good. The monkey lived, and the monkey is being taken care of.
So no shock to the monkey.
The monkey's fine. But it's pretty small.
No animals were harmed.
Vervet monkey, pretty small monkey, turned off all of Kenya's power.
Interesting. Refugee Olympic team.
Is it the United Nations that has designated the 11 athletes that are going to be on this team? Is it the International Olympic Committee?
Yes.
Yeah, so they've chosen 11 athletes.
Ten.
I heard it was 11 initially. I don't know. Numbers switch. Who are somewhere in Europe right now, who are migrants. They have fled Syria. They have fled Algeria. They have fled a variety of places. And they are going to compete in the Olympics basically under a migrant banner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be the Olympic flag. That's essentially what it is.
Which is what they give out for all of these things.
So yeah, and we're talking about a range of sports, a lot of runners, a lot of track and field, but Syria, South Sudan, Democratic Republic of Congo, they are all going to Rio this summer. And as Derek said, they will be under the flag of the Olympics.
Yeah, there's a Syrian woman in this who, I forget what she competes in. It's not track and field.
Swimmer?
Yeah, I think she might be a swimmer.
But they announced this back in October, and really to bring awareness to the migrant crisis.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a refugee team.
And I would imagine, you know, running from border guards gets you
very quick.
Good training, you know?
Yep.
They've been sleeping outdoors. They're going to be like, they're going to get to Rio. They're going to be like, we don't care that the bay is full of poo. We got a roof over our heads.
Poo Bay.
Yeah, Poo Bay. Still. Also known as Guanabara Bay. Poo Bay. Search and rescue dog.
Search and rescue dog. Was this search and rescue dog, was this today? Why do I, like, I feel like I know this story.
Yeah, it was everywhere yesterday. Like, every network had this. It was a golden retriever. It was named Brittany.
Found, like, a family or found somebody missing?
Nope.
No.
It was the last of the 9/11 rescue dogs to pass away. Mm. Brittany, who was just 1 year old and had just finished training, was sent to the pile, 9/11, worked there, also worked Hurricane Katrina and search and rescue operations all over the country, was laid to rest at the age of 16.
Wow.
And that's a good run for a golden, because goldens tend to have hip problems as they get older. And she was getting to that point in her life.
Now, where was what's the organization that has, because, I mean, you talked about going to 9/11, you also Katrina. Is it a specific organization that brings these dogs to different?
Disaster City, is the name of the organization. They train and supply the dogs for these different sorts of operations. And it's interesting because it's a sad story because the dog died,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she's believed to be the last of the 9/11 dogs. It's every dog that worked the pile is now gone. She was the last survivor. But her handler was saying that they got to 9/11 and obviously they didn't find any survivors, which is why they were there. But she said that the first responders all day long would walk up to the dog and just talk to the dog because it was a way for them to mm-hmm. release the emotion that they felt. And she said that she thought the dog
just
had actually done
comfort.
The dog had actually done a lot more good at that
mm-hmm.
than at finding anybody. Not because it couldn't find anybody, because there was no one to find. So, kind of a sad story. Cool dog.
All right, this is your last one.
Dogs are nice.
Obesity.
American women and teens are more obese than they have ever been in U.S. history. And I believe obesity in that group is up by 30%, 23%?
40%.
Oh, higher. Okay.
Well, no. Actually, yesterday, two CDC studies came out. They said U.S. obesity levels have gone up again, of course. Studies measured body mass index of thousands of citizens. More than one-third of men and 40% of women are considered obese. That's staggering, those numbers. Ooh.
I can tell you where they were last night because I was sitting next to them. We're not going to go there because that's not...
You are probably considered obese, though.
No, I'm not.
Overweight?
Overweight, yes, but not obese.
In your normal size, but especially for men, the cutoff's pretty low.
Yeah.
And I think for overweight for women is maybe like 135 for my height. I'm very skinny and I'm 115.
I'm a shade away from it. And the thing about it is...
And you're completely normal size.
There's only one part of my body that gathers weight,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's my boobs. No, it's below my boobs. It's, but not below enough that people would appreciate. Yeah, I got the beer belly.
If only all of your weight went there.
You know, and it's like, as I get older, my waist is getting a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I blame part of that on the day job and hopefully the yard work will take care of that. But no, I'm a shade under, I'm not like borderline obese. I would have a ways to go to get borderline obese.
It's amazing to me when people come back from having a doctor's appointment and say, yeah, my doctor said I was overweight. How is that possible?
Yeah.
You're rail thin.
Yeah. No, I'm overweight and it's obvious I'm overweight. Not badly, not unattractively. So do have a cute wife. Savannah Guthrie is your final,
Savannah Guthrie, who works for the Today Show, said she will not be going to Poubei to the Rio Olympics.
Poubei, no trip
this
to Poubei
summer
for her.
She is pregnant. She recently came out and said she was pregnant, and because of that, and for her health and her baby's health, will not be traveling because of a little thing called Zika.
Yeah.
No good.
My money, of course, is on... Bob Costas coming down with Zika because he got the pink eye when he was over there in Sochi a few years back.
And remember that? Ooh.
Really, Bob Costas, he might want to stay home.
Yeah.
You know?
And again, as we've been talking about on the show, every week we are seeing names that are saying I'm either going or I'm not going. Gabby Douglas, who is one of the superstars of the last women's Olympic gymnastics team, came out and said, you know, this is my shot. And before she was... one of those like smaller superstars. She was younger, and
well,
she
the gymnasts all tend to be small. So.
Well, she was the younger one, and this is her year to really be the leader of it. She's going for gold, and what she said is, "No bugs gonna scare me away." I believe the quote was.
That's an indoor event, though. It's not like you're swimming around at Poubei with the. By the way, Costas definitely needs to keep away from Poubei.
Yeah.
We can't let Costas go anywhere near Poubei.
I mean, he is susceptible to pink eye.
The guy got pink eye in Russia in the middle of the winter, okay? Don't let him anywhere near Poubei in the summer because it's just going to be all over.
Yeah.
Not
too bad.
617-627-3800 is the telephone number. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why we live in the most backwards, embarrassingly backwards state in the Union, or at least one of three. And trust me, you do not want to be on this list. We do not want to be in the same company with these other two jerkwater states. And don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock tonight on The Town with Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene right here on WMFO Medford. We'll be right back.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash. Fluorescent lamps. Fluorescent lamps. Thermometers. Thermometers. Thermostats. Thermostats. Button batteries. Button batteries. These could all contain mercury, so let's dispose of them properly. Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash. Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly. Mercury is harmful to your health and the environment. To learn what products in your home may contain mercury and where to dispose of them, contact your local health department or visit keepmercuryfromrising.org. Brought to you by Wheelabrator Technologies and Coventa Energy, the people who convert your trash into clean, renewable electricity. Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly. KeepMercuryFromRising.org.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. Lisa Nichols, As I promised off the top of the show tonight, I am going to explain to you and our listeners why we live in one of the most embarrassingly backwards states.
If there weren't enough embarrassing things about this state,
in the country, this one beggars the imagination. It really does. Let me tell you, we are one of three states that are this backwards. Okay? I'm going to tell you who the other two states are. And you ask yourself at home if you want to be in this company, because you are the company that you keep. Ask yourself if you want to be on this list. We share this embarrassingly backwards fact with New Jersey. New Jersey, home of Chris Christie and the Jets. New Jersey and Delaware, which nobody knows.
Everybody just forgets about Delaware.
Whatever's going on down in Delaware is going on down in Delaware. Yeah. Like, I think Delaware does this just so that they can stand out and have something that they're about. Okay. This is Delaware's claim to fame.
Otherwise, we would just annex them.
Delaware, New Jersey, and Massachusetts have something in common.
Whatever could you be talking about, Derek?
That is embarrassing and shameful to everyone in all three states, but should be particularly embarrassing and shameful to us. And that is, these are the final three states in the United States of America where consumer fireworks are illegal. That's it. There are only three states. When I started talking about this years ago, There were a dozen.
Because this is something that we bring up every single year because of its importance.
We're down to three. Three states.
You know we're going to be the last one.
And by the way, you can't escape this fact because they've got it up on the highway boards
over
the state.
If you are driving into 93 going north, I want to say first week in May it was up. Just remember, fireworks are illegal, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here is the Groveland Fire Chief Robert Lay made a point of telling Wicked Local that it is illegal to use, possess, or sell fireworks of any kind in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So we got the signs up, we got the police chiefs coming out, everybody's making all of the usual noises. And here's the question, why? Why are fireworks still illegal? They had a hearing at the Supreme Judicial Court today to talk about recreational marijuana mm-hmm. being legal on the September ballot. Okay? They had a question about that today. You know what else was supposed to be on the September ballot? Fireworks.
Legalization of fireworks.
You may have heard this. You may have heard about this last August. You may have heard about this last summer that a bill had been sponsored by former Gardner State Representative Richard Bastian that would have made fireworks illegal. Would have at least given we, the people, the opportunity to vote on this. Not so fast, said Mara Healey, State Attorney General, who I voted for.
Shameful.
I really hate it when people I vote for turn around and stab me on the back. Mara Healey basically gets the first pass on anything that might make it in as a ballot question and does a legal review of these things. And Mara Healey's office saw fit to conceal the fact that edibles would be part of the legal marijuana legislation, mm-hmm. Which the Supreme Judicial Court reamed an assistant state attorney general for today.
Yeah, didn't thought they all take the field trip to Denver on the taxpayer dollar?
Yeah.
And they should have known about that.
But here's what Mara Healey said in just throwing this out. No hearing, no nothing, just throwing it out. That it would have, the law as written, would have eliminated all restrictions on the manufacture, storage, sale, or transfer of all explosives. Having read the bill, I can understand that interpretation. There may be a thing in there that, while it wouldn't make it legal to set off C4 in your backyard...
We're not getting that big.
Would eliminate the express illegality mm-hmm. of setting off C4 in your backyard. So, yeah, look, nobody looks at a fireworks bill and says, oh, this means I can go blow stuff up.
But I don't understand how that goes across her desk and says this needs to be rewritten. It's a good idea.
She didn't even say that. She just threw it out.
I know.
Just threw it out.
Trash it.
Didn't say rewrite it. Didn't take it to the court. And it's like, nobody's going to sue to try and get a fireworks law passed.
And... say that there is maybe misinterpretation or there could be multiple interpretations of this law, so it needs to be redefined.
Well, her argument is that it went too far because the bill does say, hey, we're going to strike out this paragraph.
Yep.
And that's the paragraph that basically says explosives are illegal for people to have. So you can't strike out that paragraph. You have to amend it rather than strike it out. Send it back. Because at this point, I have to wonder who it is in this state that was a leader in gay marriage, that is now leading the nation in transsexual bathroom rights, that is considering recreational marijuana as a ballot question, assuming it gets past the Supreme Judicial Court. We're good with all of that stuff, mm-hmm. but we can't have any sparklers.
We're still somehow on the list of... Yeah.
Do you know what's illegal? Do you know what's illegal in this? Sparklers are illegal in this state. We are the only state in the union where sparklers are illegal. You can have sparklers in New Jersey.
You can.
You can have sparklers in New Jersey. Snakes, little things you light and the mm-hmm. snake grows out of it, illegal in Massachusetts. Party poppers, the champagne poppers, illegal in Massachusetts. What are we talking about here? Who is driving this?
Apparently.
And why can't we get... sensible legislation passed.
Apparently, the people in Massachusetts in government don't want to make money. That's what it comes down to. They don't want more tax money coming in.
Not only do they not want the tax money, they don't want to have any control at all over the fireworks that people use in this state. Those are two things they don't want. They don't want any control over what people set off on the 4th of July, and they don't want to make any money.
Because you need to be completely naive to believe that a majority of Massachusetts residents are going over into New Hampshire and going to those superstores right over the border, and they're bringing them back into the state. And when you're hearing on the 3rd, 4th of July, that whole weekend, the fireworks going off, yeah, New Hampshire has that money.
We could
have it.
You don't have to go to New Hampshire. You can go to Connecticut. You can go to Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. You can go to Vermont. You can go to Maine. You can go to New York State.
I'm just thinking
every state that touches us has legal fireworks.
Now, wasn't New York last year on this list?
New York came off of this list a couple of years ago.
2 years, okay.
Yeah, and Connecticut actually has...
Because we were one of four as of recent.
Connecticut actually has some of the most restrictive fireworks laws in the United States in terms of what you can sell. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You can buy some fireworks, you can get some fountains and set them off on the 4th of July if you live in Connecticut.
Now, what was the main reason? Because that's a crap statement what this guy's saying. Why can't we have them? Explain that to me. Explain that to the listeners. Does it make any sense?
This is what I don't get. This is, and here's the other thing.
Because of course, Derek, you're going to hear safety is the biggest problem.
Fine. Regulate it. Because one of the interesting things about Bastion's bill is, and I think it was a bad bill for this reason, you couldn't just go and buy fireworks. You had to go and get a permit from your town's fire marshal or fire chief that would have cost you up to $25. So the town's getting money for
it. More money coming in.
Here you go. Boom. $25 is your fireworks permit before you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were also going to give every city and town in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts the opportunity to opt in. This wasn't an automatic, like, we passed the law, you have to allow fireworks sales. Communities had to vote to opt in and basically set up the program that says, yeah, we're going to issue permits and we're going to... So you know who's setting off the fireworks. Mm-hmm. You're getting money from them.
So you may not be able to set them off in Medford, but you can go over to...
Exactly. Else. And if the police show up and you don't have a permit, it's $500 fine.
Again, more money.
All of this makes sense. All of this is perfect. And the best part of the whole thing is you get to regulate what's sold. Instead, what we have every year for the last couple of years in this state is a culture where people are running out into the middle of the woods to set off their fireworks, because if you set them off in your backyard, you know the cops are going to show up, and the cops are going to be there to write you your $100 ticket, take away your fireworks. So the kids all go out in the woods. What happens when you set off fireworks in the woods? Well, fire breaks out. Fire department can't get there. You're better off having people set off fireworks that you control and regulate in their yards.
That would make sense.
47 states in the union get this. 3 do not. We're supposed to be the center of learning and enlightenment and progressive thought around here.
Are we one of the smartest states in the United States?
That's what they tell us. Not when it comes to this issue.
Mm-hmm.
We are one of the most backwards, stupid, and shamefully embarrassing states on this
issue. And again, Derek, I believe that we are going to be the last one if we ever even pass this.
At this rate, you cannot get a ballot question on until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So unless somebody up on Beacon Hill actually writes a piece of legislation that I believe a majority of Massachusetts residents would support and would get you some nice press as a politician. You always want the nice press. You're creating jobs. You're generating tax revenue. You are controlling what is sold in the state. It is a win.
Sounds all good
on
to me.
Every
check,
single
check,
level.
Check. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the unions are opposed to this. I don't know. Maybe some.
But especially here in Massachusetts, though, shouldn't the monies be the most enticing thing? Because we care. Everybody on Beacon Hill cares a lot about money. So having all of that coming in as revenue and generating it, not going to other states, not going to Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, New York, you would think, right?
Here's the office of the state fire marshal. Here's the statistics. 775 major fire and explosion incidents involving illegal fireworks. That's reported. 11 civilian injuries, 4 first responder injuries, and insurance losses, monetary losses of $1.8 million.
And this was last year?
No. This was over the past 10 years. That's from 2006 to 2015. So that's an average of one civilian injury per year, 77 incidents per year, and $180,000 in damage per year.
And you're always going to have drunk people playing with fireworks.
There's always somebody.
Yeah, I mean, at least one.
Yeah,
I'll give
There's always going to be somebody doing something stupid. There was a guy up in New Hampshire. Put the thing on his head and killed himself. You know, you're Jason. Jason Pierre-Paul holding the M80.
Love to know the thought process that goes through your mind when you say I should put a firework on top of my head.
You know, booze. Mm-hmm. Booze, maybe some opiates. It is New England. 10 years.
And it might be legal now, so.
10 years. We average one civilian injury every 10 years. That's with illegal, unregulated fireworks all over the place in this state. Because people bring them in from New Hampshire. People bring them in from Connecticut. People bring them in from Rhode Island. You can buy them anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can walk across any one of our borders in any direction and buy fireworks. And we have no control over what's sold here. If you want a common sense approach to this, if you want a solution to this, you legalize it. And then you say, no, we're not going to have those 500 gram mortars and giant repeaters that they sell in New Hampshire. And if we catch you lighting that stuff off down here, we're going to fine you $1,000.
No, if you give you people the opportunity, though, to have the chance to blow off fireworks, they're not going to have the need to get those big, huge ones in New Hampshire. You're going to be happy with what you have because it's legal.
So what's the other side of this? Well, the people who want fireworks know where to go, know that if you cross the border, you can go set them off in New Hampshire, you can go set them off in Rhode Island. Guess where everybody goes for the 4th of July? People are leaving the state. So we're losing tourism revenue on what should be one of the biggest weekends of the year because people want fireworks. How does our legislature not get this? How does this continue to be an issue in this state when every state around us has seen the light? Connecticut legalized it for crying out loud. They hate everything down there.
I mean, come on. Just give us the basic ones, the sparklers.
All we want is some sparklers and some fountains and some little tanks, maybe some firecrackers, and we're happy. We'll go home. We'll light them off. They'll go up in the air a little bit and make a little noise. Everybody oohs and ahs, and then we can all go home. I don't need like professional grade stuff like they're selling up in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to Phantom and load up on mortars.
But if you had the opportunity to go down the street and get what you just said, those small little tanks, the fountains, you would be happy and satisfied with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And not need to go. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be the guys that are still, you know, like how big my fireworks are. Good for you.
But then you
But the mass majority of the people that do go up to New Hampshire or Rhode Island, Connecticut for this type of thing are going to be happy.
You go after those guys. Just look for anything that's firing up over the tree line and you got them. Everybody knows what house it is because things are going off for 2 minutes.
Yeah, and we're all about, you know, the big taxes on goods here in the Massachusetts Commonwealth. Why don't you do a firework tax? Sure, people would pay for it.
The $25 permit would have been a great idea. We could have made money off of that, okay? You will make money by taxing the sales, and you will have complete control over what gets lit around here. Yes.
But no, instead you don't know what's coming in
instead,
to your state.
Illegal. Guess what? I'm going to New Hampshire for the 4th of July this year. That's where I'm going to be. And you know what? I'm getting some fireworks while I'm up there. I'm going to set off some fireworks because I like fireworks, and a lot of people like fireworks. And if I could buy fireworks in this state, I would have stayed home for the 4th of July and had people over to my house. Mm-hmm. That's now not going to happen. My money is going to New Hampshire because New Hampshire understands the rules, treats me like an adult, and gets the benefit not only of my fireworks dollars, but my fireworks tax money, gas. Mm-hmm. I'll be buying cigarettes while I'm up there. I'll be buying liquor while I'm up there. I'll be staying in a hotel while I'm up there.
Just for some fireworks.
Just for some fireworks.
That's something as simple as passing a bill.
That's really what it comes down to. Because for years in this state, everybody looked the other way. You know, and it was like, hey, look, if you got caught bringing t- tons of the stuff in, you were going to get busted.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knew how to get around that. But the 4th of July rolled around. People want to set off some fireworks. Nobody batted an eye. Now, you set off a sparkler. The blue lights are at the bottom of your driveway.
It's true.
Because they have made enforcement a priority. And they got the signs up all over the state highways. Fireworks, you're going to get fined. Don't get any fireworks. They're going to roll out all the fire chiefs. Don't get any fireworks. Fireworks are illegal. Why? Why? Why can't we be like Connecticut? Basically say we're going to make this little category of stuff
legal. We don't say that often.
I know. I mean, normally we would have no reason to say that, except we are so backwards on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
It is embarrassing. Given what a leader we are in every other area, it is embarrassing that we cannot buy fireworks in this state. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. I promise I won't yell at you if you call. 617-627-3800. Coming up at 9 o'clock tonight on The Town with Mikey D, everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. But before we get to that, you get a little bit more with Lisa and I. What's hot, our favorite things from the past week, and the strangest stories from the past week. Coming up next on WMFO Medford.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. I am Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. Here with you till 9 o'clock, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. And as always, I like to be on the leading charge of anything and everything craft beer here in Boston. My favorite brewery, it's about 2 years old now, Trillium, if you've ever been in the Seaport District. It's more near Fort Point on Congress Street. It's a small brewery, and as I said, opened up 2 years ago. It has such a following. It's incredible how popular it has become because of the quality of beer that they've been putting out.
Mm.
Well, because of its popularity in December, it opened and expanded into Canton. But again, it was only...
Canton?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't find anything closer than Canton?
Not
going to Canton for beer.
Well, no, you can still go for retail in Fort Point. But the new operation in Canton just started today. You can go. So you can go from 12 o'clock to 7 p.m. This is Monday through Saturday. They opened up a tap room, so a tasting room. And what you get when you get in the tasting room, a tasting card, you can sample up to 20 ounces of their beer. So they come in 5 and 10 ounce pours, and they track it. Once you hit 20, you're done, because it's not a place that you get drunk. It's for people like me and you that actually do appreciate beer. I mean, we're not going to go to a...
Yeah, but I appreciate getting drunk on it. I mean, that's why I'm...
But Derek, you're like I am, and we're not going to go to a brewery generally and get drunk.
Speak for yourself.
We want to go and enjoy 20
ounces. I'm not going to Canton for 20 ounces. I'll tell you that right now.
You also have to understand majority of these beers are carrying a 9% or higher ABV. So
yeah, I'm not a lightweight anymore. I've been drinking craft beer for years.
Just try. Well, it's very hop heavy. I don't know if you like Trillium.
It's in Canton.
Yeah. They have this one called PM Dawn that I have talked to you about and I know you would love. It's a very, very delicious
All I know
porter.
Is if I go to Canton and somebody tells me I'm only getting 20 ounces of free beer, I'm angry. So that's where I'm at.
You are
Is there any way to get more after the 20 ounces, or do they just throw you out?
No, you can purchase bottles and your growlers and howlers.
Okay. Can I drink them there?
No.
Well, so I'm driving to Canton.
Let me, Derek, enjoy my craft beer happiness with a new brewery of my favorite beers.
I can go to Atlas and get all the beer I want and drink it in the parking lot. So
speaking though of
can't drink in the
going to
lot.
Liquor stores. Have you been to Total Wine and Liquors in Natick?
No, because they don't have beer in the name.
It's massive. Basically,
and they're in Natick.
No, it's craft beer too. They just opened the newest location. It's right off of Valley Parkway in Everett. It is amazing. It's basically the size of a Costco or BJ's, and it has everything. I got Vouv for, I think, $45, which retails generally for $70. Definitely go there.
Yeah, they got Vandermint.
Lot of fine wines.
Have they got Vandermint?
More than likely.
Yeah, I will go anywhere in the state for Vandermint. And I know
Santa
they
Margarita
don't have
Pinot Grigio I got for $15.
I just want Vandermint. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Find me some Vandermint and I'm there. Star Trek, which Lisa adores. Lisa, you're a huge Trekkie. Right?
I actually enjoy that more than I don't enjoy Star Wars at all. So
But anyway, Star Trek turns 50 this September. It's hard to believe that it's been 50 years. To celebrate this, the Canadians are doing this thing. They mint coins. The United States does this too, but they mint all sorts of commemorative coins. And they're doing an entire series of Star Trek coins. And one of the interesting things about Canada's mint is that they've figured out how to do full color printing on their coins. So you got the nice silver background and then you've got these great colors all over them. If you got the money, if you got $1,300, you can get a pure gold Star Trek Delta coin. This is the same shape as the badge, communicator badges that everybody wore. It only has a $200 value in Canadian currency, but it's pure gold and it's actually going to set you back $1,300. If that's a little rich for your blood, they have some more reasonable things. There is a $20 silver coin of the Star Trek Enterprise. No printing on that. They've also got a series, a subscription for the Star Trek crew. This has the color printing on it. You get four of these half-ounce pure silver coins for $43 American. So those are good prices. Go to mint.ca. That's mint.ca. And take a look at their
I thought you were going to talk about the Mattel came out, didn't they say? And they were announcing a Star Trek, like Barbie line. Not a Barbie line, but the creators of Barbie are creating dolls
of
Star Trek.
They've done it before, and they're kind of interesting. But these are different. This is actual currency that the Canadians are minting. Really
nerd things.
Really, but they're really nice looking coins. This isn't like you like when you get into the color printing on these are really, really gorgeous coins. And, you know, something that you can frame and put on the wall and be like, hey, look at this thing that I got. Plus it's actually got some precious metal value to it too. So if you fall on hard times, you can melt Kirk and sell them for rent money.
There you go. And as we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Florida. They're crazy down there. Florida man's desire to change the name of a nearby lake is arousing controversy. The lake's name? Lake Horny. Barry Zimmerman of Lakeland, Florida lives on the shores of Lake Horny, but is petitioning to have its name changed. It seems Zimmerman is sick of the salacious jokes that keep popping up when people mention Lake Horny. Zimmerman petitioned to the U.S. Board of Geographic Names to rename the lake, according to the Lakeland Ledger newspaper. Zimmerman told the board he does not, quote, want to degrade Mr. Horny's contributions to the history of Lakeland, but wants a name change because of its vulgar meaning. One woman who used to live on the Lake Horny Drive admits it is embarrassing. She is very embarrassed by the street name and would tell people she lived on Lake Horny. The lake was not named after the slang word for sexual desire, but out of desire to honor Julius Teague Horny, who helped develop Lakeland in the 1920s.
Boy, that guy's kids are having a rough time.
Lake Horny. Horny.
That guy's...
It's like the Tarjay thing.
That right? Guy's grandkids are having a tough time.
Yeah.
You know, how would you like to be little Dick Horny? Hi, I'm Dick Horny. Oh, well, we'll stay away from you then, won't we? I used to live on Hooker Street in Alston.
Do you really?
Yes, which is named for a Civil War general. And hookers actually got their name from the Civil War general. That's the only thing people remember about him, is hookers. So I'd get in a cab in Cambridge and be like, can you take me to Hooker Street? And then the cabbie would be like...
Well,
I know a few places you could go. And I said, no, the street.
Yeah,
not in back of the Boston Herald. That's not where I wanted to go. Mm. I never once referred to it as Hooker Street. Suppose I could have. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals gave some good news to a West Virginia prison inmate. Adrian King will be allowed to sue officials at Huttonsville Correctional Center who threatened him with loss of parole and segregation if he did not have surgery to remove marbles from his penis. King had the marbles inserted and tattoos added to his penis as part of body modification in 2008. Prison officials demanded that the marbles come out over fears that he would use them to smuggle contraband. King says his penis hurts when it rains, snows, or gets cold, that prison officials refer to him as Marble Man, and that gay inmates have shown an interest in him due to prison staff gossip. Mr. King is having a very, very rough time of things. Doesn't even have his penis marbles to help him cope.
Yeah. But
the one...
I can go so many places with that, and I'm not going to.
The only thing that I couldn't find out about Mr. King, despite all of the descriptions that I read of his genitals, is what he's actually in prison for. No one bothered to report that piece of the story.
Of course not.
Which might, in general, be information your users would like to have. But I assume he's there for a reason, and his lawsuit is not frivolous, so congratulations, Mr. King. You'll get to sue for your penis marbles.
Nice.
Yeah. And that is that's almost all the time that we've got tonight. On the Town, Mikey D is coming up next to bring you everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Let's talk about famous people we met. You were hanging out with Pau Gasol.
Hanging out.
The other night.
He
didn't even see
just
you.
Just to give
because
a...
Because you come up to like his kneecap.
Yeah. A listener update. Last week, I talked about Pau Gasol saying, you know, people should really think about going to the Olympics. He is not going to be one of those athletes. And he was in my restaurant on, what was that, Friday? Thursday? Yeah, so I told him I talked about him on the show, and he said, for what? And I said, for the Olympics and Zika, where he smirked and went up to the roof where all the famous people go.
To be fair, the top of him was already at the roof.
He was, yeah. He didn't
like, how tall
that,
is just, that guy?
7'2", maybe?
That's a big guy.
7'1"?
So like giant hands?
I think
hands?
He's over 7.
Yeah.
Oh, massive, just massive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a giant dude. I had my picture taken last night with Manny Patinkin, which
so
I
so incredibly jealous.
Yeah. He's a sweet, sweet, awesome guy.
Both Derek and I, huge fans of Homeland. I mean, his countless other works are amazing, but I actually have never heard him sing, and that was what the whole show was about.
You're missing the whole thing. He's doing two nights at the Boston Pops. The show's going on. He's probably taking the stage right about now, actually. Don't know when he'll be back. If you ever get a chance to see Mandy Patinkin, go. He is phenomenal.
He did something at a theater in Cambridge last year.
I saw that as well. That was his post-apocalyptic vaudeville that he did with a Boston-based singer. That was great. But this was just full-throated Mandy Patinkin doing great Broadway songs. He did some stuff from The Music Man. He did some stuff from Sunday in the Park with George, though not the parts that he sang in the show, which still drives me nuts. Just once, I would like to see him live sing Finishing the Hat. Just once. I just want to see it because it's such a great song. But he did a lot of great stuff last night. And he's an incredibly gifted performer. And if you like all the other stuff that he's done, go and see him sing. He's fantastic. So,
Pops are doing some pretty awesome things as of lately.
Yes, yes they are. They're seasons.
One of our mutual friends recently saw them, and it was a classic rock version.
Tom Scholz showed up on stage and was playing of Boston fame. Yeah, their season at Symphony Hall is about to wrap up. They're heading out to Tanglewood. There's some cool stuff coming out there. Played some B-52s earlier tonight. They're closing out the Tanglewood season. I don't know how that works.
They normally play next door, so I'm surprised.
But that may be something to check out. Anyway, that is all the time we have. Until next week, Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.